As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Europe, an attachment to Europe, looks worse and worse every single day. There's a security issue that the Brits feel.
I don't think the business cycle dynamics that we've seen since World War II have changed. I think they're the same, and they're going to start to manifest themselves.
Many in markets are looking at 10-year rates at 1.75 and are concluding, wow, if rates are so low, that must mean that the U.S. economy is unhealthy.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment. On Bloomberg Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Michael McKee in Washington. I'm Tom Keene in New York. We welcome all of you across the nation, worldwide. Bloomberg Surveillance, a most interesting morning, made more interesting after really a quiet 3-4 days of news. The bombshell out of the Federal Reserve yesterday on minutes moving the dollar stronger and bringing June somewhat towards the current. I'm not sure where we are after the comments of Jeff Lacker to Michael McKee, but there you have it. Yields higher, the 2-year yield 0.90% and the 10-year yield 1.86%. Our Forex brief, as always, brought to you by Interactive Brokers, winner of FX Week's 2015 award. For the best retail Forex trading platform, visit IB at IBKR.com/Forex. Dollar stronger, what you need to know on a blended basis, the DXY, 93.94, out to a 95.47, nowhere near recent dollar strength, but nevertheless, the vector's in a certain direction. Yen, 106.789, 110.17. Weaker yen, euro was a 1.12 a cup of coffee ago. Maybe Jeff Lacker moving the euro weaker, 1.11.85. That is not near parity, not near a weak euro call, but definitely there it is. Sterling, 1.45.89. Sterling was stronger earlier as well. Brent, 47.84, dollar-based. European oil, 47.85, down a $1.08. Oil retreating off of dollar strength. We always have the answers. We're always out front, but there is nothing like news to move a stock. David Wilson, the note to me is the mass of Walmart and what it takes to move a stock 8%. That's a lot of money moving in one direction.
Oh, no kidding. But let's face it, Walmart's results definitely a contrast to what we saw out of Target yesterday, what we saw out of Macy's and Kohl's and Nordstrom last week. Fiscal first quarter earnings at the world's largest retailer amounted to 98 cents a share. That's 10 cents higher than analyst average estimate in Bloomberg survey. And sales also beat projections. So as you mentioned, 8% gain for Walmart today. Most active stock in early trading. Cisco Systems up 5%. The largest networking equipment maker gave fiscal fourth quarter profit and revenue forecast that beat estimates. Cisco benefiting from a shift towards software-based networking, security, and management. And then you have Monsanto up 6.5%. The seed and farm chemical supplier received an unsolicited takeover offer from Germany's Bayer, or if you like, Bayer. While neither company disclosed the terms, Monsanto had a market value of $42 billion as of yesterday. If this sounds familiar, it's something Bloomberg reported last week was in the works. Church and Dwight up 6%. This company makes, among other things, Arm & Hammer baking soda and Trojan condoms. Stocks up for a second day on takeover speculation. A Spanish website, Negocios.com, reported that the UK's Reckitt Benckiser plans an offer, story citing unnamed sources. FMC Technologies up 2%. The oil services company agreed to merge with French peer Technip in an all-stock deal valued at $13 billion. It's all about cost-cutting in the wake of falling oil prices. Back on earnings, Salesforce.com up 5.5%. The maker of internet-based business software posted fiscal first quarter earnings and sales that exceeded estimates. Advance Auto Parts down 7.5%. Yeah. The retailer's fiscal first quarter profit and sales trailed estimates. You also see full-year sales falling at stores open more than a year. And I should point out rival AutoZone down 3% and O'Reilly Automotive down 2.5%.
But the summary here, away from Walmart and I guess Urban Outfitters, I'm guessing, did well as well. Other than that, it's pretty grim.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you've got Take-Two Interactive, the video game maker, down 4.5% after their earnings. L Branch, which owns Victoria's Secret, down 6.5%. You mentioned Urban Outfitters. It's up 8% in the wake of its results. American Eagle Outfitters, another apparel retailer, doing even better. That stock up 14%.
Never boring. David Wilson, thank you so much. Again, Walmart up 7-8%, up 10% earlier. Really remarkable. It's always a good time to speak with Subrata Rajapa of Societe Generale. But now it's really a good time after what we've seen in the last 18 hours. Subrata does fixed income, head of their U.S. rate strategies at SocGen. Subrata, good morning.
Good morning.
What an interesting time. How did your world change yesterday afternoon? Do you stay with your beliefs or have you made a shift overnight?
Well, we've definitely made a shift overnight. I mean, the minutes were definitely on the hawkish side. I think that they're starting to get concerned that the market's too complacent about rate hikes. You know, you're seeing good data. You know, they seem to be dismissing the weak GDP data in favor of employment data. Basically, they're telling us that every meeting is a live meeting and that, you know, the UK referendum doesn't really, isn't going to really necessarily stop them from hiking in June if the conditions are appropriate.
When you look at this, what is the bet now in the street? One of the things that, you do so well and all strategists do is try to find where the chips are placed at any given moment. Is there a bet right now for lower yields or higher yields?
You know, the market's been sort of sideways for a few months now, so there really wasn't any conviction on which way the market could go. And, you know, we actually, in one of our recent publications last week, we had said that there's just too much complacency in the market. So, you know, there's potential for yields to go higher because of hawkish repricing. And there's also the potential that you have downside risks from overseas and, you know, volatility in general, you know, both in equities and fixed income is very low. And lo and behold, after yesterday, we've seen a significant move.
The issue for the Fed that Jeff Flacker sort of dismissed what they raised in the minutes is whether or not there would be enough data going forward. He seemed to think that because his view is we should raise rates now, you don't need a whole lot more. But does the market need to be convinced by more data?
Absolutely. I think that the market is still resisting pricing in a hike for June. We were sort of a coin toss for July, but, you know, June still, the hurdle for June is still quite high. So, you know, I think that there's not much data coming from, you know, between now and June. So it's really a question of, you know, how we proceed from here on. But, you know, there's going to be very little new information between now and June that's going to really sway the market. So it's just all going to be about Fed speak from now on. I think I'd pay attention to what, Fed President Dudley says today and Janet Yellen says on June 6th.
I want to give you a window, folks, into Subrata's world at SocGen. This is something that we're not going to discuss on air. I think, John Tucker, there's a federal law against that. We recommend six-month forward, six-month two-year vol, straddles versus mid-curves, which also has a three-month Z-score for the ratio of forward to spot volatility of a negative 1.4. John, did you get that?
I thought you said you weren't going to talk about it on air.
Yeah, well, there it is. I mean, Subrata, you deal in an incredible world of complexity. May I suggest the world is that volatility will return to your market?
Yeah, I think that the market is definitely these last weeks seem to be underpricing the potential for volatility in the market, and that's why we recommended that trade because you know there's just a lot of complacency. You know, if you look at the move index, it was at the lows. The VIX was at the lows. And to me, the biggest risk was exactly what happened yesterday, which is a hawkish repricing of rate hike expectations. And, you know, the market just wasn't priced for that. And we tried to sort of, you know, clearly there's a lot of program selling of gamma, which is short-dated volatility. So I think that you know, it was much easier for us to sort of recommend trades, you know, that take advantage of forward volatility going up, as in, you know, volatility in the future going up.
Is the market agnostic as to price? In other words, are people just happy to price based off of what they think the benchmark rate is going to be, or is there a feeling that the Fed and the benchmark rate is wrong and we need lower rates for the economy and for corporate earnings and all the things that go into why you hold an investment?
I mean, to me, a 25 basis point hike, even, you know, from such low levels, shouldn't really impact the economy at large. You know, and if you look at sort of the Fed pricing, what really stands out in the Fed funds futures pricing is that, you know, I mean, I'm not really concerned about whether they hike in June or July. It's the pace of hikes after the next rate hike that I think the market is totally discounting. We're only pricing in two hikes until the end of 2017. So, you know, even though, you know, some Fed governors seem to think that we could hike rates, you know, two or three times this year, the market's basically not budging on that.
Subrata Rajapa with us with Societe Generale as we look at some of the nuances of the fixed income market, made all the more important by Jeffrey Lacker's comments this morning to Michael McKee and also to the Fed minutes yesterday in a legitimate move, stronger dollar in the market with yen right now, 110.15, weaker yen.
We are also tracking the missing Egypt airplane. Here is Michael Barr with the latest on that story. Michael.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. Egypt's civil aviation minister says his country is not ruling out any possibilities, including a terrorist attack in this morning's crash of an Egypt Air passenger jet into the Mediterranean. Greece's defense minister says Egypt Air Flight 804 made abrupt turns and suddenly lost altitude before entering Cairo's air traffic control area. The 66 people aboard the Airbus A320 were flying from Paris to Cairo. Presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is weighing in on this morning's crash of the Egypt Air flight. Trump tweeted, "Yet another terrorist attack," which has not been confirmed. Egyptian, French, and Greek officials have launched investigations into the crash. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists in more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Mike LaBarre. Mike, Tom?
Michael, thanks so much. Brent crude, $48 a barrel, down 93 cents. Stronger dollar, weaker oil this morning. Michael McKee in Washington. I'm Tom Keene in New York. Good morning.
Market Drivers brought to you by Fordham University, the Gabelli School of Business Executive MBA, top-ranked with a renowned professional network. Classes in Columbus Circle or Westchester. Learn more at fordham.edu/EMBA.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The Bloomberg Futures Report is brought to you by Interactive Brokers and CME Group. If you're looking for global futures contracts with low trading costs, look no further. Interactive Brokers is the industry leader. Learn more at interactivebrokers.com/CME Group. U.S. stock index futures are lower, with raw material producers poised to follow commodity prices lower as investors brace for a possible Federal Reserve interest rate increase as early as next month. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 5.5 points, Dow E-mini futures down 46, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 13.5. DAX in Germany's down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32, the yield 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7% or 84 cents to $47.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 2.1% or $27.20 to $12.47.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1194, the yen 110.07, and Walmart up 7.5% after first quarter results beat analyst estimates, tamping down fears that the retail industry is mired in a slump. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Very good, Karen. I greatly appreciate that. Good morning, everybody. It is a busy morning here, headlined by Michael's interview with Jeff Lacker of Richmond. Mike, as we expected, you were very good on this. The vice chairman speaking at, frankly, folks, an important and emotional event at Columbia University in honor of Michael Woodford, the esteemed monetary theorist. And, Mike, there's the headline. The vice chairman says nothing. He's so important. That says something.
Well, in this case, because as you mentioned, this was in honor of Michael Woodford. He's choosing not to comment on U.S. economy or Federal Reserve policy right now. He is talking about the economic models that inform the Fed's policy, and he suggests that the neutral rate of interest that Jeff Lacker was talking about has moved lower.
Yeah, that in the terminal value, that goes off of some of the work of, I think, of John Herman and Michael Feroli, among many leading the charge on a new lower set for all of our economics. Subrata Rajapa, Societe Generale, has to live this in fixed income. Subhadra, is your world removed now from economic models and dynamics? Are you attached to the system, or is everything so distorted?
Actually, that's a good point. We're not, because what you do is, even if you're looking at, you know, coming up with a fair value for 10-year treasury yields, you would look at GDP and inflation and come up with a fair value model that's going to tell you what 10-year treasury yields are. But now we're in a world where, you know, there's so much demand for treasuries coming from overseas, because the Bank of Japan and the ECB are engaged in quantitative easing. That it really, it really drives what, back end yields. So there's definitely, a detachment. I mean, I would say 10-year treasury yields have detached from economic fundamentals.
Yeah. And Mike, you see that Bill Dudley headline in introducing, I believe, the vice chairman. Dudley says he hasn't fully embraced nominal GDP targeting yet, which I guess is not
a some who, Some who suggest the Fed should go to that if they want to try to drive inflation higher.
When we look, Subrata, at the rate market, do we have a risk here of low yields, which expands credit like in another moment before 2007?
Yeah, there's, the odd thing about this cycle is that back-end yields have remained very low. So, I mean, I was checking what the 15-year mortgage rate is, last week, and it was 2.81. So the back end has remained somewhat pegged through this whole talk about rate hikes, and a lot of the pressure is coming on the front end. So as far as sort of consumers and borrowing costs are concerned, you know, it's still very cheap, and interest rates are still very low. So, you know, for the most part, I would say that, you know, the rate hikes in and of itself haven't really stopped the consumer from borrowing.
Jeff Lacker said we didn't need to see inflation go higher just as long as it doesn't go lower. What we haven't seen is a real move higher in inflation expectations from the people in your markets. Are they seeing the same things that the members of the Open Market Committee are seeing in terms of inflation, or are they still in the camp that this is temporary and it'll go away again?
I think that what's telling is that we've seen a significant move up in oil prices. I'd say that at least earlier on this year, the correlation between break-evens and oil prices was quite high. And now what we're seeing is that we've seen a recovery in oil prices, and break-evens are still quite low, especially 10-year break-evens are still quite low. And the 5-year forward, 5-year break-even, which is what the Fed looks at, is also quite low. But we're where we were back in October, so in some respects there's a case to be made that if they were comfortable with the level of break-evens back in October, November, to be able to hike rates in December, then that is probably not a big issue for the Fed.
Subrata, thank you so much. Subrata Rajapa with Soc Gen with us today. Mike, I've got in front of me the text of Vice Chairman's Fisher's speech in honor of Michael Woodford. Unfortunately, folks, it's so brilliant, I'm going to have to actually sit down and read it. It is a superb history of the contributions of Paul Samuelson, Patinkin of Israel, and of Woodford of America. Mike, I have to share with you this Euler function, which is what Woodford is claimed for. X equals EX at T plus 1 minus omega I minus the expectation of inflation minus the real rate. Did that help?
Rachel tells me she's down in Greenwich Village booking you a coffee house to do a reading.
It is a superb, it's only what you would expect from Stanley Fisher. His contribution to economics across history and theory and driving it forward as he has done with public policy is extraordinary. I will put that speech out on social media so you can grab it easily. It is a tour de force by Vice Chairman Fisher. Mike, what did you learn from Jeff Lacker today?
Well, I think the most important headline is that he doesn't need to see, and he seems to think the committee may not need to see, inflation go higher between now and June 15th. As long as it doesn't go lower, it's on the proper path and mathematically should continue to rise. So that's interesting. He argues there is enough data out there for them to act.
Yeah, and move markets again. The markets will come back, as they always do, at the end of an interview, but clearly higher yields seen through the McKee-Lacker interview. We need to get the markets open. Futures negative 5. The VIX, 16.63. Bloomberg Surveillance.
We are counting you down to the opening bell, brought to you by the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The Grand Cherokee continues to raise the bar with its luxurious interior and legendary 4x4 capability. Drive one at your local Jeep dealer today.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.